Well, I hope your eyes are opened. If not, I hope that today is a day that you have your eyes open to what Christ has for you. Christ has a wonderful plan for your life and for my life, and I hope that you have found that. If not, find Jesus today. He is truly powerful. He is the... Actually, let me just say this. Yesterday, I was at a place, won't tell you where, but I was at a place, and I just saw a lady walk by, and I just thought, she's not happy. She's just going through life because she has to, and there was just a demeanor about her that I just wondered. There's something in her life that she just needs to be set free from, and so I hope that that's you, and I hope there's a joyful countenance upon your face today. I want to make a couple of comments, and actually want to show you a video real quick here. The video I'm going to show is one that was put together by some people who worked on Vacation Bible School. Many of you helped out with that. Many of you gave to that, and I'm just going to show you a quick video of that. It's going to go about 2 minutes, but I just want you to see a little bit of what took place. So just sit back and enjoy, and then let me give you some other... Yes, and I just want to say this. We had 15 young people that said that they wanted to follow Christ this week during Vacation Bible School, so praise God for that. Yes, praise God. It's one of those things for me. Some of those maybe have professed faith before, but just like one who is going to, you heard Ryan share in his baptism video, he'll be baptized in the second service. It was in front of a television set when he's 5 years old after a Billy Graham crusade. And so we believe that you never know when those are the right moments that you remember and you hearken back to. And some of you have those. You remember exactly where you were, and praise God for that. And so thank you for being a support of Vacation Bible School. I do want to make mention it's Dan Edwards' birthday today. So happy birthday, Dan. Wave at us, please. That wave actually probably hurt him a little bit because he was coming home from work on Friday, I believe, was the day that he was driving about 65 miles an hour, and somebody pulled out in front of him, and he hit them, and so I'm glad you're here today. Praise God for life. He's protected you, so praise God for that. Also, many of you know that Mark and Brooke and Eden are in town. They're not officially in their home yet. Hopefully, they'll kind of get there. They have their stuff in their home, but not really there. And we're welcoming them here tonight at the Selfridge House, 3830 Wisconsin, 6 o'clock. We'll have ice cream and some toppings. So come and welcome them and also enjoy some ice cream. Bring a lawn chair, and we'll have a great time together as a church family. Park up and down the street, and maybe you'll have to walk a block or two. Which reminds us of how wonderful our parking lot is, and we don't have to park up and down the street at the old building. And so I'm thankful for being able to be together tonight. So please come to our house, and we'll have ice cream. We have vanilla, we have chocolate, and we have another kind, don't we? We won't tell them that we have mint chocolate chip because some might come. So we have vanilla and chocolate and mint chocolate chip. So hopefully you can come. I want to share from God's word today from John chapter 9. I don't know if you were able to be with us last week. I know we have some guests here today, but some of you were able to be here. If you weren't able to be a part of the message last week, I encourage you to go online. But I want to talk about this man who was born blind and what happened to him. There was a man who was born blind. The thought of the day was that if there was a physical infirmity, then there must be a sin of some kind. And so the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who sinned? Was it this man? Was it his parents? Who was the one that sinned?" It's interesting because they were concerned more for this man's sin, or lack thereof, or possible sin, than they were concerned for this man's blindness. I mean, I hope all of us would pick up on that. Like, we want this guy to be able to see. Sin is important, of course, and that we can get rid of that sin, but we also want a person to be able to see, be able to notice what we can notice. This man who we saw last week, he didn't go to Jesus. He wasn't one that went to Jesus. Jesus came to him, had mud and spit put on his eyes, and he was told to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he would be healed. So he went, and he was healed. It was simple as that. He was told to go to the pool, and he washed, and he just did. And when we come to Jesus, Jesus does his work. It's just simple and plain, and that's the way it works. I did have one individual ask me, how do we know if it's God's will, though? Because part of my message last week was, if God told you to do something, just go do it. Quit waiting around and just go do it. Well, how do I know if it's God's will? Here's a couple of things. One, pray about it. Second, seek godly counsel. Third, when you think you know about him, may God is wanting you to go because he's given you an intellectual mind. Start walking through that door. Start walking down that pathway. And if God doesn't want you there, he'll close the door. Many of you have experienced that. You're like, I think this is where I'm going. And all of a sudden, it just seems like it hasn't been working very good. And you're like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, the door closed. And you're like, okay, I got it. And as you walk in faith, trust in him. Also, I just wanted you to know that none of you came by the church this week. I was a little disappointed, and none of you asked for us to spit on you as a pastoral staff. And so I'm not sure if you don't like our spit. It can provide some cleansing qualities. If you weren't here last week, then you'll have to listen about why I'm asking you for I could spit on you. I think my spit is pretty good, actually. Sometimes when I run, though, it's a little more clingy than it is fluid, but just figured you'd want to know that. So don't come to me after I'm done with a run or during a run, because it just, anyway. So we left the passage last week where the Jews were trying to figure out this man who was healed. Was he really the guy? Are you really this person? If God does a change in your life, others will question you as well. Did this really happen? I think of the three that are in our service right now, Jalen and Damien and Steve. Really? You just got wet. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. Baptism is a great thing. And so, yes, it is them. And just like this man, they said yes to Jesus Christ. Be confident in God's work. And may this man, as we continue in the story from the text today, impact your life. So if you join me in John chapter 9, I'm going to start at verse 18. I'm going to read all the way through the end of the chapter. So if you would listen fast, that would be great. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible and you'd like to follow along, it's on the Bible in front of you in a chair rack nearby, probably 895. Or you can just listen or you can watch on the screen. Here's what it says. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner," speaking of Jesus. He answered, "Whether he," Jesus, "is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." Let me repeat that verse. We know that God does not listen to sinners unless a sinner is repentant, I think is what would be added there too. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment, I came into this world that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to them, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt, but now that you see, But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. First thing I want you to see is this. The Jews went to the man's parents. The Jews went to the man's parents. Parents know a lot. They also know their kid. Now, something we might have missed last week, but impacts this discussion for the week. Who was the one that asked the question in verse 2? Who was the one that asked the question about the blind man? Did you see who it was? It was the disciples. It wasn't the Pharisees, it was the disciples. They were intrigued. They wanted to know. They wanted to say, now, who sinned? And so they were seeking knowledge. I want us to be careful as followers of believers of the Lord that we're very careful with what we're seeking and the knowledge that we get. The scripture says in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Godly individuals, if you're a godly individual, you can be turned away. Don't allow that to happen. And so the disciples are seeking truth here. Now, who sinned? And Jesus is helping. Search the scriptures well. Don't be haughty. Be cautious. That means we don't have to walk on pins and needles, but we have to be careful. So the leaders ask the parents, is this your son? Is this him? The disciples were curious and wanted answers. The Pharisees wanted to get rid of Jesus. And they gave a non-answer answer, the parents did. They agreed that it was their son and that he was born blind and that he could now see, but they were concerned about what would happen if they agreed too much. So they were very careful with their answer. Why is this? The scriptures tell us they didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. Now, we don't understand this very well. So I thought of a couple of ways that maybe we could understand this. We don't understand how the synagogue was super important. You don't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. You just don't want to do that. Here are my best ways of explaining that. It's like a soccer player being banished from the soccer field. If you have any soccer players in your realm and they were told you cannot play soccer again, that would really bother them. Or another illustration would be, think of a farmer. If you know a farmer, the farmers I know, they are never done farming. When the wheat comes out and when the corn's ready to harvest, guess where the farmer is at? Even at 90 years of age, they're out in the field because they're farmers. They always want to be there. Think of telling a farmer you can't go to your field. Like, what? Can't do that. Can't excommunicate them from the field. Or, and hopefully I can get away with this one, it's like excommunicating a policeman from a donut shop. Probably not the same thing for every policeman, but they were concerned about being banished from the synagogue. Now, this could have been a temporary banishment, or it could have been an eternal banishment. Like, you can't go back in the synagogue ever again. Now, take it to another level here, you've got to understand this, that not only were they being banned from the synagogue possibly, but they were being banned from God. So it's not just a place. It's like you can no longer have a place with God. Hopefully that makes sense. And so when you hear their answer, you're like, well, why are they so nervous to answer this? Because they didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue, or they didn't want to be thrown away from God. I mean, God's important. They didn't want to, you can't have God anymore. So they were very careful with their answer. Number two, they questioned the man a second time. Interesting how they start. They said it this way, give glory to God. What are they saying here? I think they're saying subtly, don't lie. And be careful what you say. They are now accusing Jesus of being a sinner. First, the disciples ask about the man. Now the Jews were accusing Jesus of being a sinner. Then he utters this phrase. This is what the man says. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Once I was blind, but now I see. Do you remember the day Steve Minder and I were talking before the service and he was reading a book about Paul, and before he was Paul, he was Saul. and something came upon Saul's eyes for 3 days. And then Ananias came and he said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And something like scales coming from his eyes is what the scripture tells us. And then he was able to see. Do you remember the day that Jesus came into your life and you were able to see things differently? What a marvelous day that is when those blindedness becomes, I can see. Maybe you're going through a time even now where you feel like you're going through a fog and you're like, I wish I could just see. And maybe even this week, God will just reveal to you and you'll be able to see. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Let me hearken back to this man. We don't know how much he was. Was he able to see shadows, or was he just nothing? And then he went from seeing nothing to being able to see. I don't know. But all I know is once I was blind, and now I can see. It's kind of like a cancer patient hearing these words. Your cancer is gone. It's like, it's like someone who's been in the military, you've worked at a job for a very long time, and the day comes that you're, if you will, free from that place. And you walk out of there and you're like, I'm free. It's uplifting. How hard is this to understand? It sure doesn't seem hard to understand, does it? But they couldn't grasp it. Why? Because their hearts were hard, because there was a challenge in their soul, because they wanted to reject Jesus. If your life has been changed, make your testimony simple. Have you shared your testimony with anybody recently? I'm living for the Lord, and this is what Christ has done within me. Sometimes we stutter around, and here's what one commentator says. You as a Christian may not be able to put into theologically correct language what you understand Jesus to be, but in spite of that, you can serve as a witness to what Christ has done in your soul. Even if one doesn't understand all of it intellectually, he can understand or feel with his heart. It is better to love Jesus than to love theories about him. He wasn't faking anything. And by the way, don't fake Christianity. Don't try to do that. Some try and it just won't work. People will see right through it. It works in the movies, I understand. But in real life, it does not work. Number 3, does God listen to man? In verse 31, it says this, if anyone worships God and does his will, God listens to him. What a powerful truth for you. Something you and I should hold on to. The Bible, in a different place, says it this way in James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Your prayer, you who are righteous, is powerful and effective. If you are following God, be encouraged today. He is listening to you. When you pray, when you ask, the Word of God says you have not because you ask not. So ask. And God is answering. Number 4, the man got cast out. Because they didn't like his answer, they cast him out. You can't be here. And when Jesus Christ is your Lord, you may be put out of places. You may be cast out. Think of this. The man who was born blind and they wanted to cast his parents out possibly, he was the one that got cast out. What his parents were scared of happened to him. But, number 5, Jesus found him. It says it right there in Scripture. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, Jesus, he does this, each one of us, whether you're far away or whether you're very close, Jesus finds you. And when he finds you, he talks to him about his life. The man was confused, but Jesus told him about himself. And guess what happens in verse 38, if you look at it, the man believes. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you do, then believe in him and serve him. Each of the baptismal candidates say they believe in God. Now they must go and worship Jesus and serve him. The Pharisees heard this as well, and Jesus basically tells them, now that you know that I am the Son of Man, you need to believe or your guilt will remain. Follow Christ. It's interesting, if you read through this chapter, you catch something that I didn't catch. A commentator that I read shared it. You catch how this man identifies Jesus. I want to share it with you because I think it's important and I think it's valuable for each of us. The man identifies Jesus in three ways. If you look in verse 11, when they start asking him, who healed you? He was able to identify who it was. He was able to identify it was Jesus. But if you look at what he says, it's this. This is what it says. It was the man, Jesus. So the first recognition that he had was it was a man named Jesus. Didn't know much about him, I don't think. Maybe he didn't know, but he called him the man named Jesus. A little later on, in verse 17, if you have your scripture, do you see what he's identified as there? It says Jesus was identified as a prophet. And so you have Jesus as a man, Jesus as a prophet. But then, a little later on, in verse 38, if you look at that, here's what it says. He said, Lord, I believe. Why is that interesting? Jesus was not only a man, he was not only a prophet, but he has to be Lord. When we first identify who Jesus is in our life, he is just a man. He is just another man. He's a good man, but he's just a man. Then we identify him as a prophet, and he's saying something good. So he's foretelling. He's foretelling something in my life. He's a prophet, and this is valuable. But then there's another step that you make him Lord. Is he Lord of your life? Is he not just a man? You can believe about him. Many people believe in him. They don't do anything with it. Some people are like, well, he's a prophet, so I probably should read the Bible a little bit. But then the man said, I believe, Lord. Is he Lord of your life? Please hear this from the commentator. It's a tremendous thing about Jesus that the more we know him, the greater he becomes. The trouble with human relationships is that often the better we know a person, the more we know his weaknesses and his failings. But the more we know Jesus, the greater the wonder becomes. And that will be true not only in time, but also in eternity. The more you know Jesus, the greater he becomes. There are some that are turned off by the church. I'm not sure exactly why. Sometimes it's something that's happened in their life. Maybe some pastor said something somewhere along the way, but they don't want to attend. And this is my belief. They haven't had a true encounter with Jesus. When you have a true encounter with Jesus, and when he really grabs a hold of your heart, you want to worship him and worship him all the time, wherever you're at, and even church on Sundays, because you desire to learn from the Lord, and you believe in the Lord, and you have a passion for being with Jesus Christ. See, I think some know about Jesus the man, but don't know Jesus as Lord. This man who was born blind, Jesus went to him. He said, go wash, and the man went. And he could see. He went, and he could see. Jesus comes a little bit later, he finds him and says, do you believe? Well, who am I supposed to believe in? Believe in me. And the man did, and he called him Lord. Can you call Jesus Lord of your life? If so, give testimony of him. And may you share of him. You may not have all the right words. You may be like, just say this. Once I was blind, and now I can see. And people are going to say, what do you mean? Well, you see, there's a spiritual realm that's here. And I was blinded to that spiritual realm and what was going on. But Jesus opened the heavens and said, I want you in heaven someday. Would you be my child? And when you're his child, know that you have a home in heaven someday waiting for you. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for each of you. God, I pray that you would be with each person that's here today. Open all of our eyes to what you're doing. May we not miss it. May we not merely call you a man or a prophet, but may we call you Lord. Thank you for these who are being baptized today. They're calling you, I believe, Lord. They want to serve you. They want to honor you. Help them to do that. God, if there be somebody here today who doesn't know you as Lord, I pray right now in the quietness of this moment, they would in their heart say yes to you and desire to live for you, because within you is life, and within you is life eternal. And God, would you do something great today in someone's life that they would repent and say yes to you? God, I pray for each other person in this room that knows you as Lord. May they continue to hold fast to you, whatever is going on. We're busy people, I know, God, but they've come into your house today to worship you, and I just say thank you, God, that we have this building to come and worship you. Now, as we go from this place on this day, I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would guard each of us, that you would guide our steps. And God, would you minister to each mind this week? Would you give us holy, godly, righteous thoughts this week? And may you go before us and be our strength and our all. And may we be able to proclaim, once I was blind, but now I can see. Thank you, God, for your love. We pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today. You're dismissed.